This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With that, the college basketball season is over after last night. It's over.
Got the final game.
It is on to soon to be NBA play-in tournament, I think, is a week or so away. The Masters are later on this week. Obviously, baseball is still just getting going here, 10 games into the season. But the Florida Gators, national champs for the first time since they went back-to-back. And
the Billy Donovan era.
Yep. It was Billy Donovan, Joakim Noah, I think, or whatever. Right. Was,
he'd been out of the league for years now at this point. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's how long ago it was. But the Florida Gators erased a 12-point deficit against Houston, third largest comeback in men's national championship history. We can get into some of the bigger storylines, like where's Todd Golden at now in college basketball? One of the youngest head coaches to ever win a national championship. So
youngest since Valvano is what I saw yesterday.
Yeah. So like there's something to be said there. Overall, like I was very much entertained last night. I think the final four, the three games we got from Saturday to Monday, absolutely delivered for what you hope you would get in college basketball with the four number one seeds. We got the one versus one, of course, in the national title game because of that. And while the final 2 minute stuff is what we all agree and complain about in college basketball, like the reviews are ridiculous. It's absurd. The constant waving your finger, asking for review stuff has been going on for years is absolutely annoying. But I don't get why you wouldn't have enjoyed that basketball game. There are complaints about college basketball in general that we all have, but that game in particular was as good as you can ask for, I think, in a national title game.
This is what's fun, I guess, about doing sports radio. Did not enjoy it. Not like the little bit of the drama at the end, I would say, right? Although the final possession, wow, Houston.
What the heck?
What a mess, what right? So like we could spend 20 minutes just breaking that down. What was
three
your
straight
plan?
Possessions.
What was your plan to score? Their final four possessions in the last 2 minutes of the game were turnover, 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 turnover. So like a complete mess, disaster at the end. For the same reason we mentioned Duke choked the night before, Houston choked.
Yeah, on a smaller scale, but yes.
Not to the point scale, but like they choked. Mm-hmm. They had a good halftime lead. They blew it at the end. Their last final, not like, I'm not saying it was like a 25-point halftime lead. They had a nice halftime lead there, or the bigger stretch when they got up, 12?
12 was it. They were up 12. It really, halftime was 3 points.
Yeah,
it was 12, though, in the
right
second half.
Right after halftime, yeah. So 42-30 or whatever they were up. At the one point, blew it at the end. Houston blowing at the end is absolutely part of the story. This is what I find. And like, this is not even to be like, I saw Drew, I saw you, I saw Jeff Goodman, people like other, I saw it more from probably the national basketball people. I thought the style of game was borderline four times unwatchably bad.
Number one defense, number two defense in college basketball.
I'll just be honest. That's not the style of any sport I want to watch.
That's fair.
The same reason I don't want to watch 12-9 Ravens Steelers in December. Close doesn't mean good to me. And there were big swaths of no scoring in that game, bad offense in that game, or you could call it great defense if you were on the pro defensive side. I thought it was a slog. I thought in the second half, they they took that game to a screeching halt.
No, I agree with you on the referees,
and that kind of made it unwatchable at times. So, like, I just, yeah. I didn't find it to be like an overly enjoyable game until we got to the final. I don't know. Four. The under four was not bad.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I understand the complaints. Now, the officiating, I'm not going to argue with you on because that was absurd in first half compared to second half. But I guess what I'm saying is a lot of these points, replay and referee stuff, is stuff we've all complained about with the sport itself that needs to be corrected.
Yes.
Too many reviews. The officiating is not consistent. Like, that's not unique to last night. Like, the first half, they let them play. First half was awesome. They let them play. And then
the first half was more enjoyable.
They get together at halftime and said, wow, we got to rein this thing in. Whew. And all of a sudden it was foul after foul after foul. I'm not arguing with you on that.
They were in the double bonus at like the under 12. I mean, it was like way too early in the game.
Yeah. All I'm saying is the complaints about the game, you could have complained about a January game as well and a game in February. It was not unique to last night. And the broader point of like the Final Four and how it was chalky and all that, if that was 12 seed versus 1 seed, the game wasn't going to be better than that. That to me was our best case scenario in terms of, other than Duke Florida would have been a more open game. I'm with you, right? Offensively, Duke Florida would have been a more aesthetically pleasing game. Totally with you. But that was the style. Houston and Florida going into the game, we talked about it yesterday. It was, could they shut down Walter Clayton? And they did for a majority of the game until they couldn't right late. And this was going to be about defense. That going in, it was a low total. If we're talking about a betting angle, like, it was a very low total for a game. I could have told you that was something. Not going to be like this up and down and constant game.
And I'm not saying I came into there just being like, they're just going to run up and down the court. But I mean, look, every possession for like 8 consecutive minutes in the game ended in a foul. And it, like, there's no pace. And if there's no flow to a game, I lose interest in like the pace and the style of the play. Look, I'm not here to argue. Like, I'm not so like insane to be like, yeah, I'd rather have a 20-point FAU beatdown.
Right.
Like, I'm not like, I'd rather a close game than a not close game, but I'd rather stylistically for the game to be enjoyable to watch than, you know, like, I felt like the entire 40 minutes, zero flip. The first half had more.
The first half I actually thought was pretty darn good.
I'll take it back. The final 20 minutes, but like, first half where they're letting them play and all that. But then once the fouls racked up and it was completely out of control, and look, this goes to the broader point of all of college basketball, but that's part of what makes college basketball less enjoyable for me to watch. Your points of,
oh, I agree,
these are things we know about the sport is a problem. The other things, go to quarters. So I don't have to watch them from the stripe, the final part of the game, you know?
I'm with
you.
These are all things, all that I agree with, and most people agree with, and these have been complaints for a couple of years now in college basketball. It needs to be addressed. The quarter thing, people have been saying for like a decade, I think, about men's college
basketball.
Ever
since the women's game especially has switched.
Everyone else is in quarters, and you're just decided,
It's the actual in-game stuff down the stretch. Yes, Florida's defense gets some credit, but
a lot of it's X's and O's,
final three possessions for Houston, they didn't even get a shot off, guys.
I think a lot of it's, I know we're not going to dive into X's and O's, but that's actually what it comes down to. I feel bad for Emmanuel Sharp. You know,
But he also made a mistake there, Drew, even if
that's what I'm saying. I feel bad for him.
At least touch the ball and stop the clock, even if it's a turnover. He just stood there and hoped somebody would come and grab the ball.
It's your natural reaction.
I know, but if he touches it, it's a turnover. It's a travel, right? It's a travel.
Of course.
At least there's, I don't know.
If they call maybe they blow it.
2.8 seconds, 2.4 seconds on the clock. So that's something that unfortunately he's going to have to handle and deal with for a very long time.
Possessions were tough.
I hear you that it schematically give Todd Golden in Florida credit for how they played. But like, for Houston to not get a shot off in three of the final three possessions is bad basketball.
That's what I'm saying. It's not Houston's. I'm saying Houston's X's and O's. It's interesting. Kelvin Sampson after the game, the way that the play was designed was not to get a three necessarily. It was a stagger screen set to get Sharp open, but the play was for him to pump fake and then drive. The thing was, Walter Clayton did an exceptionally good job of closing out.
That kid's a stud.
The screen wasn't set good enough. It's supposed to be, again, two X's and O's, but it's supposed to be an elevator screen where Sharp splits. Francis and Roberts and Francis slide together to screen collectively. Clayton, two spread out, didn't happen. Clayton closes out. If Emmanuel Sharp pump fakes like the play was designed for, then he's able to either drive or, given Clayton was so into that closeout, he was all in. You have an open shot for the national title if you pump fake and you take your time in that situation. Didn't expect it. It's just tough for Sharp again to have that issue, and then the turnover before where he just tried to do too much on the possession. And ended up turning the ball over.
It's going to be a tough pill to swallow, probably, for Houston, knowing that they held Clayton scoreless.
I know, for 35 minutes or whatever. Or 30 minutes.
At halftime.
They held him scoreless for 30 minutes of game time. Like, if you had said that going into the game, you'd have been like, oh, we are golden. Like, are you kidding? We're good to go. We're going to hold their leading scorer, one of the best players in the country. We're going to hold him to nothing? Great, guys. No worry there. And LJ Cryer is going to play a lot better than him for a huge chunk of the game and still ended up blowing. They just didn't, like, Houston going back to it, and this is why they were scrappy and they fought back and they would force teams into bad shots. But, like, as somebody pointed out, it's like 10 minutes into the game, they were always going to have to win some slugfest.
Yeah, that was halftime. That was the game they wanted. That was the game Houston wanted. Bigger picture now for Florida. We can get into this more later on in the show, but Todd Golden is now one of the youngest coaches to ever win a title. He's just 39 years old. And Florida's program, you know, for after the Billy Donovan era, like they kind of were irrelevant for a decade. Like they were there. They were a pretty irrelevant college basketball program. Now, where does he go in terms of the college coaching hierarchy? You know, we talk about this new era of college basketball and having success. Look how they built that roster there at Florida. They have some guys that have been in the program, but the player we keep mentioning throughout this whole tournament, Walter Clayton Jr., was a guy that came through on a transfer from Iona, and he ended up being the best player on the court last night. Even with 11 points, he was the best player on the court last night. I understand, what's his name, in the first half?
Richard
was Florida in the game.
Clayton was was facilitating.
He was the most outstanding player, named most outstanding player was Clayton after. But for Todd Golden, it'll be interesting to see, watch over the next year or two. I'm not saying they're going back-to-back or anything, but where does his coaching go from here, and where
he's
is he viewed
top five now, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's amazing. You win one ring and all of a sudden it just changes everything.
There aren't that many coaches who have rings because they end up going other places. No,
Tom Izzo has one ring. As many as Tom Izzo.
But look, we also know that Izzo has been in so many Sweet 16s, been in so many Elite Eights. He gets to be above the board. The real question for Florida will be, can you hold on to him for the long run because you're in the SEC, you're at a big school, or one of these schools, let's just say Hubert Davis is on his ass in a year, which he very well might be. Yeah. They just lost one of their best players.
I mean, honestly,
they just lost their top freshman in the country.
If let's say in 3 years, Bill Self did retire, if Todd Golden's still doing it, he will be one of the hot names that people will be wanting them to hire. The same way we've talked about some other younger coaches in college basketball.
The NBA comes calling with Billy Donovan.
Exactly what happened with Billy Donovan.
The question is whether or not, how big of a program can you build with him and hold on to that to construct it. But yeah, I think you immediately have to put him in the top 20 college basketball coach, maybe top 10, depending, right? He's not going to go above any of the guys who deserve to be above him, right? Hurley, Self, Izzo.
Sure.
You know, you don't get to just leapfrog because you win a title at 39 years old. You actually have to follow that up with like multiple trips to the NCAA tournament, continued success.
3 years at Florida. He was at San Francisco before. 3 years at Florida, and he's already got a national championship.
Impressive. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, and the SEC, we had mentioned, they hadn't won a tournament since Florida won it the last time in 06, 07. So they capped off a tremendous year for the SEC basketball. They were the best conference. They put the team through to the championship game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.